So, Ira, Formula One, you were there all week. This was a big, big deal for you. You had a great time. But first and foremost, let's talk about the winner. Lando Norris gets in the winner's circle for the first time.
He is so popular. McLaren, you know, with in terms of the orange jerseys, the orange hats and everything, just the whole name of McLaren. But for Lando, he's, you know, movie star looks, but just a great personality and so popular among the other drivers. But he's gone 109 races without winning. But he's up there. He's not. He's a good driver, but almost compare him to Yannick Sinner. Yannick Sinner, who we saw in Miami, just with Miami, was one of those same things. He's 22, Norris is 24, which is that great, you know, everyone look when he turned pro, he's going to be a superstar, number one in the world, and jumped up quickly into the top 20, but then just didn't get that top and then finally made some changes in coaching and won the Australian Open this year. Then he came back, had lost in Miami twice in the finals, came back and won Miami this year. And now Sinner is like gearing up if he stays healthy enough, he's injured hip right now, but if he can win maybe the French, or this is really now Sinner's looking like number one in the world. Same thing for Norris. The fact that Norris finally, in a year that everyone thought Verstappen, finally for Norris to break through in Miami, what a great win. And you could see the party atmosphere at McLaren. I mean, we were there 2-3 hours after the race in the tent, in the team village in the stadium, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And it was just the champagne was spraying and flowing. But even during the interview rooms, Leclerc and Verstappen, like, I wanted to win, but if I was going to lose, that's the person I want to lose to. And that's the type of person he is. Everyone loves Lando Norris. He's so popular. And it's weird that he's a popular among the fans, but he's also popular among the drivers, which is great.
It's really, really cool stuff. And obviously very happy for him, you know, especially when someone's gone such a long period without being able to get in the winner's circle. Let's talk about the media access, because we've been to a lot of events where we get the red carpet rolled out for us, and we've been to some events, not so much. So what was your experience as a media member?
I thought it was just amazing. Brett and Stephanie, they work, the two people I interacted most with, but the whole team from the Dolphins run this. So the Dolphin organization puts this on. So Brett, you know, who runs the Dolphin media, does this too. So it's like you go from the hat from running. It's like he said this feels like running the Super Bowl. But they, look, we're a local radio station. So in terms of with five stations, which is great, but they treated us like the same way that you treat the Formula One people that travel to every single race. The access to the drivers, the interview with the drivers were willing to talk, answer questions, the access to the pits to go down. Absolutely tremendous. I loved everything about it. I mean, the food was, they had a spread in the club above the stadium on the end zone side. I forget what they call it for the Dolphins. They keep changing the name all the time. Beautiful spread of food from breakfast, lunch, and dinner, where the parking was. Everything for the media was great. And I think Brett and Stephanie, just a tremendous job. And you just heard from a lot of the other reporters, like, this is as good as they can be treated at any race in terms of being from the media.
And the access to the athletes is really huge for us personally and just for anyone in the media. And it's crazy how, you know, you've talked before about, you know, certain golf tournaments, there's no questions being asked. It's canned questions from the PGA, whereas we go to things like UFC and you can sit there and ask the guy questions for a half hour if you want.
We've talked about this all the time, but the fact that Sean O'Malley, we came to the media thing after winning his championship.
In a wheelchair
and crawling up. And then I'm thinking, wait a second, these drivers just ran around, you know, going 200 miles an hour around a car, flying around. Literally 5 minutes later, they're answering questions about what happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, where was we trying to interview golfers? And they're like, oh, that ain't 18 holes was tough. I need to break. I need to relax. I mean, I walked all 18, you know, is this and that. And here we have, you know, I said, from that's where I am criticizing golfers to some extent, because I really think the drivers, I mean, it's like if I just drove and they were in that, it's 100,000 degrees out there and they're driving this car and they can't make one little mistake. And when you're walking around this track and thinking that, you know, it took me forever to walk around. We walked 3.36 miles. And the fact that they go around that track in like a minute and 27 seconds and they're going, hitting these turns, there's 19 turns in the thing, and their approach is going from 30 miles an hour to 200 miles an hour in a heartbeat. And then they come just to talk. Oh, this is what happened. This is what I was doing here. This is what I'm working here. This is what happened. I mean, amazing. I'm amazed at how they're so loquacious in terms of willing to talk, but also to break down. Like Lewis Hamilton, when people ask questions, he thought about the answers. Like, it's not like I'm giving stock answers. He actually thought, well, this is what you know, George Russell said. Like, they actually think about their answers. They're highly intelligent. And to be a driver today, you have to be. These are spaceships. They are William Shatner and Star Trek. So if you're getting in these places, and these drivers aren't just saying, put me in. I mean, they are understanding every computerization about these cars. And I think that's where I give them tons of credit. These are highly intelligent, but also to say they're not athletes is crazy. First of all of them are phenomenal. You cannot do what they do unless you're in great shape. You're not sitting there, you know, overweight driver driving one of these cars. All of them are in great condition. It's amazing.
Do you want to talk about how the course is actually set up? Because I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell on TV, but when you're there, you can see it. And some people think it runs through Dolphin Stadium. It's not the case.
No, but anybody who goes to Dolphin games and you think all the parking lots are used. So it goes all around. And it's what's so neat about it is that it's different stadiums. Like, they create on turns different things. Like, there's the beach and there's the marina, and they actually create on the turns, which are people like going to the corners because that's when the cars slow down a little bit, and they slow down and then you can see the cars longer when they go around. So you have these stands. I mean, it seats 90,000 people, but there's nobody sitting in. You can't sit in the stadium and see anything unless you're watching it on the TV screens, but it's always around the stadium, but they attach it. So that's what makes it so weird, is they go in the parking lots and you're like, well, how do people get from one place to another? Well, there's bridges, if you see on TV, that go across. It's hard. Like, I've walked from one end of the parking lot to the other, and it takes me, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. But when you're trying to go over these bridges, because you can't just cross the parking lot because that's the cars are going across there. So you have to go up and down, and so confusing and everything like that. But I think that's what makes it, in terms of the 3.36 mile track that goes around for 57 laps and how they create it. And it's just amazing. It's logistically, I talked to some people about this, to think that they were going to put this downtown Miami would be impossible. Unless you go to this race, you realize that is there's no way they're shutting down downtown Miami to do this race. Impossible. And I think that's actually works out well. This is the third year they've had it here. And the Dolphins and Steve Ross put amazing performance. Again, Brett and Stephanie, phenomenal from the media perspective.
Did you happen to ask them how long it takes to set this up? I mean, football season's been over for a while. You have a couple of months if you need it.
Yes, that's what they do. It takes them. Now, the difference this is that they kept the paddock area. If you go to, some people don't realize this, the paddock area is where the garage is. So the garages are set up, and then there's two levels of the VIP. So when you see the super VIPs, they're all in that whole stretch where the garages are at the start finish, from the start finish line to the start line to the finish line, because they're actually a little bit different. And that's where all that stays. That's permanent now. And then for the football games, you could rent those out for tailgating. So actually, you can be in the garage of like Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, which is pretty cool to do. Another thing I want to mention before I forget, there's so much different food and everything around, but they actually do, and I didn't realize for Dolphin games too, they have food trucks that they let in for local communities that have 10 food trucks. I think there's 10 or a dozen food trucks that go from local people that have a food truck and can set them up. And I said, well, how much you charge for that? It must be amazing. They don't charge anything. Wow. So I give credit for the Dolphins. That's something for the local community to do something that, like, you know, they understand they're inconveniencing people and whatever, but to actually let the local businesses set up food trucks for free is pretty cool.
Do you want to talk about what happened inside Dolphin Stadium? Because to me, it sounded a little bit like an Epcot Center or something. But if, like, you can go around the world in 10 minutes.
It was like, I called it the Heisman House, but we're not allowed in it. So you go inside Dolphin Stadium, and that's where the VIPs walk in. But each team, McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull, all have their own little house. And it's a house where they can go. There's couches and lounges. You see people in there. I wasn't allowed to go into any one of them, but I you can see inside, and they have their meeting rooms in there, and they're all dressed up. And like, I like to hang around the Red Bull one because they'd always give you free Red Bull. They come out with the Red Bull, which is always good. So that was fun. But it was so cool to be in that. And they use the club sections below where people can go in and to those club sections where everybody's walking in. But you're on the field, literally on the Dolphin field. And the one thing I noticed about the field is that the Dolphin logo is still printed on the field. I can see where people trip on it because it actually is a little sticky when you're running on the field. And so I'm like walking back and forth the field. The other thing that was weird about it, gets so hot. Like,
it's really hot.
It is super hot. Now, at night, it wasn't that bad. But in the middle of the day, I don't know how these guys, like, I could imagine just running in there. But just to be on that field because of the way they have everything else is sort of covered. The stands are to some extent except the one side. But the field was super hot during the day. I don't know how the Dolphins play 1 o'clock games or anyone plays there at 1 o'clock games.
Well, that's why they stay on the shaded side, but the opponents in the sun. It's 7:23. This is Ira on Sports, True Oldies Channel. I'm Mike Balsamo. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the paddock and what that experience was like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where if you wanted to, I mean, certainly the celeb watching, the if you're back there, they're all coming out from the paddock. They're all coming out from the paddock club, which was the super VIP, and you're seeing celebrities. And that's just the whole aspect of being around that area and underneath the stadium with all the lounges they have set up. I just loved it. I thought it was really cool. And just it you could see the drive, you know, the teams with the tires and setting up, and each team has an entrance to their garage. I just was blown away by that whole thing.
And Ed Sheeran performed, and you were like, I mean, if he sneezed, he would have hit you. You were like right up.
Oh my God. I mean, and I'm not, I like Ed Sheeran, but it's like, so they had for the media, they go, we could come and take you. Now that's at the beach. So we walk, they go brisk walk. Oh my gosh. That was the hardest brisk walk, because we're like fighting through crowds. And the Stephanie for the media director took us over there, and we go there, and we're there, and it's the greatest. They have two pools, and then around it is like three levels of like VIP cabanas, which is one of the greatest things anyone could ever have. If someone gets, if you get invited, you gotta go. It's so much fun. We have your own cabanas above the pools around that area, and he's on a stage in the middle, only play for 35 minutes, and he comes out, and the first thing, and I'm in the first row, like there's me and Ed Sheeran. That's it. Like it was that close. He comes in, and he comes out, and he says, "Now I'm gonna just get some ground rules. I'm gonna hit." So he hit his foot thing. I don't know what they call it. I wish I knew better with the music, but he says, and he goes, "I'm whatever songs you hear, whatever music you hear, I just made, and I just replay it back. So we're not pumping in anything else. I'm not having tracks over it. This is all that you hear." And then he joked, he said, he goes, "We're just going to play the songs that you all should know. And if you don't know these songs, then you and I both have problems." And he was great. I mean, he played, he started right on time at the 20 after three. And then he ended like 35 minutes later, and even said, "We're going to the final song. I got to cut this short because they're going to start qualifying. I have to." But he was great in person. You know, every song, they brought a different guitar out for him, and his interaction with the crowd, and you just saw, wow, he's what a performer. I mean, he is clearly, I can see why he sells out stadiums, not arenas, stadiums. Yeah. So it was really impressive that he did that.
Do you want to talk about, you know, you're there for 3 days. So what are you doing in each of these days? What occupies your time?
Well, people think, what do the cars, they just ride around all the time? No, they have limited times. They only have like a practice for an hour, and then that's on Friday. Then they have this sprint qualifying, and only a few of the races actually have this thing called a 19 lap race. So it's called a sprint. A lot of drivers don't like it. They get points for it, but it's something that they try to do differently, but it's not every race. They haven't had the sprint in Miami the first 2 years there, so they had a sprint qualifying on Friday, and then Saturday was at 12 o'clock was the sprint race, actually had the sprint race, and then they had the qualifying later in the afternoon. So, but what's going on like in the middle of all this is that Porsche has races. They have, now they don't use the same garages. They have their own little garage area by the Dan Marino statue, and then there's a Formula One Academy. It's just for women's drivers, young women's drivers that try to, they'd had some of those races. They look like Formula One cars. They're smaller, but they go around. So it's like there's always noise. There's always something on the track, and that's fun. But then when I, you know, that's sort of what, you know, those are the races. And then Sunday is the main race. So they don't do any practice beforehand, and the race just started at 4 o'clock. So that's only, there's a bit on Friday and Saturday, you can see the drivers twice. And then on Sunday, but it's only for an hour at a time. And then on Sunday for the race.
And then the pit walk, you got to like kind of see what happens and how ridiculously fast these guys are.
Again, these are spaceships. You got to walk them, and I'm in the pit walk and walking down, and you can see from the garage and the cars in there, and the cars look amazing. And I'm not a car guy, like I know whatever, but and the amount of people that work on these cars, there might be 20 people in there all doing something, all set up to computers. They are not cars. Again, they're spaceships, and it was neat to see Ferrari and McLaren and all of that, all and watch and walk up and down that. We got to do it. I did three pit walks, and though on Sunday, the greatest pit walk is actually practice coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out, and changing the tires, which was really cool. And I think that was, you know, again, I think that and the fact that I got to walk around with Brett, you know, about five, how would you like to be stuck with Ira walking around a 3.36 mile? And I'm firing questions, asking about everything about, and it's cool because I've seen it now 3 years, but when you're on the track and you watch it, and there's a couple areas that there's hills, like it's a hill. It's like, wow, that, and then there's a thing called a DRS zone, and they go, okay, now you're in the DRS zone, and that's when you can actually put your wing, it helps drivers pass. But you think on TV, it looks like it happens so quickly, and you walk it seems like it's forever, but they're going so fast. It's like a split second. And then you're driving and you're walking, you're like, how are they driving this? Because it's so narrow at some points, and you're like, these guys are the most skilled people I could absolutely imagine.
And what's the grid walk?
The grid walk is what you see on TV. The grid walk is when the cars actually go out on the track and you walk around them. And on Saturday for the sprint, I got to go out to there, and they're like, they're there in their starting positions. The drivers are out there, celebrities walking around. It's so cool. Like, you're looking at the drivers and the cars and the celebrities. It was really cool. I did not do the Sunday grid walk. I wasn't allowed to do that. But on Saturday, we were right at the pit walk, which was great because I saw everybody go in and out. But that was what's so much fun. The grid walk is definitely, you know, that's what you see on TV with Martin Brundle when he goes, and, you know, Danica Patrick and those was there. They were interviewing everybody. So that was a lot of fun.
You mentioned celebrities. Obviously, you go to a lot of Miami Heat games. You'll see some celebrities there. UFC, we had a lot of celebrities come out for. It's nothing like this, though. And a lot of these people are part owners of teams, so it makes sense they want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, Brady was there. I missed him. Every time I could find, like, he was there. People said Brady saw her. There's sightings of Brady all over the place, but I didn't see him, so I don't want to lie. Patrick Mahomes was there with Brittany Mahomes. Odell Beckham, who just signed with the Dolphins, which is a big signing, so he was there. Jimmy Butler was very much involved with McLaren, so he was there. So I saw Jimmy Butler a couple times, almost the whole time. Tyson Beckford's a big model, was there. Jerry Howell, one of the Spice Girls, was married to Christopher Horner of Red Bull. So she was there constantly. And if you are dating one of these drivers, you're a celebrity just by definition. Like, mm-hmm. There's only 20 drivers. There's 10 teams, and there's only 20 drivers, two drivers to a team. So if you're dating, so every woman that is dating one of these drivers or married to one of the drivers in herself is a celebrity.
And then, cool.
And then we had Jimmy Butler, Hulk Hogan, Jake Paul, Carmilla Carbella was there. Donald Trump showed up at the McLaren garage. That was the big thing, that they invited him there. And then he said it was good luck charm that he came. And that was, but it was, again, there was like, it was just so much fun to see the celebrities and they're interacting. And it seemed like people love it. It's something different. It's not like, oh, I go to Formula One every day. It's like, this is only happened. Like, this is cool. Even for the celebs, they like it. You know, Will.i.am was there. He seems to go to all the Formula Ones. So that was so cool about that.
Yeah, it's a spectacle, and Miami does spectacles like nobody else, so it's great that you were able to be a part of it here. This is Iron Sports, True Oldie Channel. I'm Mike Balsamo. Let's talk about the actual races, because you said it starts with the sprint.
The sprint race is that 19 miles, and that Max Verstappen just jumped out to a lead, won that over Leclerc from Ferrari, Perez from Red Bull. I mean, those are the dominating teams. The story of it is that Red Bull, Ferrari are dominating, McLaren, and then Mercedes is sort of struggling. Mercedes had been the top team, you know, for Hamilton and won six, you know, years in a row, dominant, and not, it's just not with George Russell and Lewis Hamilton, who's now moving to Ferrari next year, you know, seemed to be struggling, and this sort of continued at this race. They could not, you know, as you can even sense the interviews with Hamilton Russell, it's like, we haven't figured it out, we're trying to figure it out, you know, those type of things. And it was like, but it was really, so after the sprint race, you're thinking Max is going to be there, and then they did the qualifying, and again, Max, where they qualify, it's fun because they do a qualifying where they go around one time, and they knock five cars out, and then they come out again, and they do another like 10-12 minutes, they knock another five out, and then they do the final 10, which is seeding. So Max Verstappen was first, Leclerc from Ferrari was second, Sainz was third, and Perez from Red Bull was fourth, and then Lando Norris, who ended up winning, was fifth. So that was done with the qualifying, and we knew what going into Sunday of the race was.
Let's talk about the actual race, because like we've been talking about, Lando Norris finally gets himself a win.
Yeah, I mean, Verstappen jumped out to a lead early. So he's 3 seconds, and I was waiting from watching all these races, like he's going to go 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 7 seconds, 8 seconds. Suddenly just stayed 3 seconds. So it was like 3 seconds the whole time. Piastri, the other McLaren driver, was behind him, and then there was also Leclerc, and so it was like it seemed like he couldn't get past the field, where you saw that he had this lead, and you're just waiting, maybe he's just being comfortable with that. That's what's happening. But eventually he ended up, you know, starts to pit. So, you know, he started to pit, everyone else started to pit, and then Lando Norris is now leading the race, and then he got a benefit because Magnussen and Sargeant had an accident on lap 29. So when they had the accident, the safety car comes out, all the cars bunch up. So now Norris stays, he gets to go into the pit, change his tires, do everything, can come out of the pits, he's still in first place. So he gets a pit, so he stayed in first place. But you're thinking, so he's first place, Verstappen's right behind him, he'll just pass him and Verstappen will win the race again. When they come out the start, you know, he struggled a little bit, but Verstappen could not pass him. And then during the interview room, Verstappen goes, I tried for 10, 12 laps, and I said, after that, I'm going to, for the last like 20 laps, he said, I just was happy to take second place. So it was Norris finished first, Max was second, 7 seconds behind. Leclerc from Ferrari was third, Perez, the other Red Bull driver, was fourth, and Carlos Sainz, the other Ferrari driver, was fifth. Lewis Hamilton was sixth. And Hamilton was actually happy. He said, I think we're actually improving a little better, which is surprising because he was always on every podium, would have been so upset by that. And then, you know, they finished finish the race and they go to the other side of the stadium, big celebration. But then I got to hear all the drivers who came and they talked about what happened in the race. And then you talk, the thing about Formula One is people talk about the battles. There were some positioning battles that they talk about in terms of what was going on. And then after they did the individual, like they talked to the pit of reporters and they went to ESPN, had the reporters and Fox. And then they actually did, the three drivers went to a whole media room where you could go, anybody could ask questions. So that was fun. They were in there. And they seemed to always keep asking about Lando Norris because he won. But for Verstappen and Leclerc, they were good sports about it. They're like, you know, as I said, I'm just happy that Lando won. I think that's great. If it wasn't for me, I'm glad that it, you know, he deserves it. He's worked so hard, all those other things. And Norris was, there was fun, someone, he said he's from England. So he goes, I'm so happy I won. I wish I would have won in Silverstone because that's where he's home, because my hometown. And Leclerc goes, no, you're in Miami. You're glad that you're going to be able to party in Miami. This will be the great place for you to win. I thought that was a really funny line that he said. So I thought that was really good. But it was super, I mean, we've talked about it now for like 25 minutes. I can't wait to go back next year. I want to go to another Formula One. I mean, we've been so fortunate down here in South Florida. We had UFC, we've had the Miami Open, we've had this, you know, we had the Heat run. We still have the Panthers still going, but it's just great with the golf tournaments, the two golf tournaments that we have. Just amazing to live down here and to be in sports and be involved and have these great events come here.
That's what's impressive to me, because we do have so much to do here, with not even just sports related, but for you to say this was like, you know, the pinnacle of events really says a lot about what they've done.
We've been going, you know, the last 2 month period have been that since football season's over, we've been going to all these things.
You're
and
busy.
it's been amazing. And it's sort of done now. We have just the Panthers, and we can talk about the Marlins, who are the first team to be selling. So really that's what we have sort of left until Dolphin season, you know, until the football season.